Well, tonight we're going to look at the great mystery in the end times. What is the relationship between the great mystery, the great secret, and the end times? Now, there are many teachings we've done recently and are on the website regarding what the great mystery is, so we're not going to spend a great deal of time looking at that. But in your own time, you can look at the scripture references, which is, if you turn to Ephesians 5:32, Ephesians 3:1-9, Colossians 1:25-27, and also Romans 16:25-26, and 1 Corinthians 2:5-8, and there are many more in the epistles. The great mystery. God says that this mystery is great. The word great is megas, and it means of the highest order, of the greatest splendor, great in splendor, great in magnitude. And the word mystery is mysterion, meaning a secret that you can be initiated into, that spiritually you can be taught it, that you can be enlightened to understand and have the true, accurate knowledge of what it really is. And the very heart of this mystery is that it's Christ being formed in your heart. And if you turn to Galatians 4:19, Paul says, "But little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." And this is at the very heart of the great mystery. Christ formed in your heart. And what had happened to the Galatians is Paul had been and taught them the great mystery. They were beginning to run with it. Christ was beginning to be formed in their hearts. They were beginning to live Christ. Yet what happened? They got involved in religious thinking. They got brought back to the law, not the word of grace that had delivered them. And they actually lost the right truth of God's word. And instead of living and teaching the mystery, they started doing something else. They started replacing it with something else. Today, in the church at large, we don't have the mystery. We don't understand it. It's not taught. Ministers do not teach it. Ministers don't understand it. Yet the heart of it is that Christ will be formed in all of us. Not to be Christ-like, but Christ be formed in our hearts. The great mystery is the pinnacle and the benchmark of true doctrine. If you turn to Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry." Now, what is this for? For the perfecting of the saints means equipping the saints, so that the saints are fully equipped with the word of the mystery. What's the work of the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the teachers and the pastors? It's the work of the ministry. It's the work of the mystery, so that we get instructed in the great mystery. "For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity." The word unity is oneness of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, "unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." What's the fullness of Christ? Colossians says it pleased God that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell bodily in Christ. That's the fullness of Christ. This mystery, this great mystery, is about forming Christ in all the believers. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. How many are tossed to and fro? How many are carried about with every wind of doctrine? When we come to the pinnacle of true doctrine, the pinnacle and the benchmark, which is the great mystery, and that's what these chapters in Ephesians are talking about. You read it in context. That we henceforth be no more children. The word children there means immature. You know, that we've grown up in Christ. We're no longer immature. And tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. So that we're not tossed to and fro. We've come to the pinnacle and baseline of truth. The benchmark of the truth, true doctrine. And it, the effect it has on us is that we're no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The true doctrine is the great mystery. Elsewhere it says that it's the oikonomia of God's household. The Greek oikonomia means household administration. It's the governance. It's how God wants the church to be governed according to the mystery. He doesn't want it governed any other way. It also says in Romans chapter 16, 25, 26, it's for the obedience of faith. How can we be obedient if we don't have the mystery? How can we understand what obedience is if we don't understand the great mystery? We can't. We'll be shortchanged. And it's not God's will that we're shortchanged. It's not God's will that we're tossed to and fro. It's God's will that we come to the pinnacle and the benchmark of true doctrine, which is the great mystery. How many instances are there where God's kids are like children being tossed to and fro? How many ministers are there out there who are tossing the children of God to and fro because they don't know and teach the great mystery, the great secret? Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and in cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There is a danger. A message to all the ministers of God. There is a danger that if you don't know the mystery, the great secret, if you're not teaching that, if you're not holding it fast and teaching it, then you're target number one for the adversary to come and use you to destroy the body of Christ, and you won't even know it. And that's very serious in the eyes of God. It says, but instead of that, verse 15, but speaking, the word speaking is living the truth in love, it may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So how simple is this? Look, in its simplest form, to grow up into all things in Christ. All the things of Christ, you grow up into it. The ministers should be busy ministering this, so that the flock of God, the body of Christ, grows up into the head. This is the mystery. It's the pinnacle and the benchmark. Anything else is going to be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And henceforth we be no more children. God doesn't want us just to be children in the sense of being immature. He wants us to be grown up, i.e. mature. Mature in the things of Christ. Not in the things of religion or the things of Christendom, but in the truth, in the Word of God. Exactly what it means. However blind people are, however blind ministers may be, the Word is the Word, is the Word of truth. It's the truth we're to grow up in. We're to allow God to show us the depths of the greatness of the mystery. And that is the pinnacle and the benchmark of true doctrine. And as I say, there's plenty more scriptures, but we can't, we haven't got time to go there tonight. What is this to the end times? We know that the great mystery is the household administration of God's church, of God's household today. It's how he wants the affairs in his household to be run. And it's for the obedience of faith, the word says. But let's turn to Romans chapter 2. And as we turn there, I want to explain something so we can all understand this. There are many gospels spoken of in the word. The word gospel means good news. Not all good news is the same. All good news is good, but then there's different good news. Yeah. There's good news of one thing, there's good news of another. And some of the gospels, you know, I mean, I'm talking well beyond Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. There's the gospel of the blessed God, there's the eternal gospel, there's the gospel of the kingdom, there's the gospel of the grace of God, there's the gospel of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at the beginning of Romans, it talks about the gospel of God concerning his son. And you can read this in your own time. This is in the first chapter. Paul and many others received apostleship to go and take the gospel of God concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the world. And it says that gospel was spoken aforetime by the prophets of old. It wasn't hidden. It's revealed in the Old Testament. However, at the end of Romans, there's another gospel that Paul says God told him to call it my gospel. This is in Romans 16:25-26. Now, God told Paul to call it my gospel because Paul was marked out by God. And it says in Corinthians, I think it's chapter 9, it says that God gave him a dispensation, an oikonomia. God gave him an administration for this age that we live in, this age of grace. And then you read elsewhere that God gave Paul the revelation of the great mystery. It wasn't given to Peter. Peter got to understand it eventually, and it was given to him through revelation and through him receiving teaching and the Father showing him. But Paul was the apostle. Paul was the great light bringer of the great mystery. And you can read that in the Word. You know, I'm not going to spend time with that. It's there in the Word if you so desire to see and read it. But Paul was the light bringer of the mystery. And God told him in Romans 16:25-26 to call it my gospel, Paul's gospel. And there's a difference, and he says that that is according to the preaching of revelation, sorry, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret, kept in silence, see, from ages past. And when God keeps something Segeo in silence, it means concealed in silence. No man can hear it. No angel can hear it. If God's going to conceal it in silence, it's concealed in silence. And it's pretty much like Noah's Ark. When God shut the door, it was shut. You can't open it. You know? And if God opens the door, then you can't shut it. And it's like that. And this mystery, this great secret, and if the whole church has got to come to understand this, because the whole church, by and large, almost anyway, is asleep. And the ministers are asleep. And what we have today is a shambles in Christianity because the ministers are not doing the job it says in the Word. But let's have a look at the greatness of this. Let's understand that there's the gospel of God concerning his son, which was never hidden. It was revealed in the Old Testament. And then at the end of Romans, there's the my gospel, Paul's gospel, which was hidden, was segeo, kept in complete silence by God, hidden God. And it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And God told him to call it my gospel. And this gospel of the mystery is about us being fashioned, not Christ-like. No, it's more than that. God doesn't say Christ-like in the Bible. Men say Christ-like. Christ-like is good, actually. You know, anything like Christ is good. But what the word says is Christ. We're to grow up, not into Christ-likeness, we're to grow up into Christ. We're not to have a Christ-like spirit, we're to have the spirit of Christ. We're not to have a mind like Christ, we're to have the mind of Christ, you see? And God takes us far closer into the heart and reality of the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ than all of these words will allow when man speaks of Christ-likeness. No, we're to grow up into the head. We're to have Christ formed in us. It doesn't say Christ-likeness formed in us. It says Christ formed in us. We're to grow up into the head of the body, Christ, in all things. We're to be changed into the same image from one glory to another glory, the word says. This was Paul's gospel. This wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. That a body of believers, people would be called out from the Jews, the house of Israel, and Gentiles to become what Christ is, to become part of his body, to become totally at one with him in the Father's image. And the fullness of God that dwells in Christ, it says we're to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's why God calls it the Magus mystery. Because one day, what's in Christ today is going to be in us. That is the mystery. It's too, God says it's Magus, it's great. Man won't comprehend it. Man wants to play religion. The ministers want to play their own religion. And they all want to bounce off each other claiming who's right and wrong. Well, let's see what the word says. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Paul says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And this is a real dandy, because the secrets of men are the secrets in their heart. And we can't see man's heart. We can perceive through outward actions, speech and actions and so forth. But we can't really see into a man's heart. God can see into a man's heart. And there are secrets. Men operate secretly. Paul's gospel is the great secret. And what Paul's saying here is that there's a day coming when God shall judge the secrets of men's heart by Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the great mystery. In other words, it's the benchmark of judgment. It's the benchmark, the baseline. It's the benchmark of what everything's going to be judged against. We have Christ being formed in us. We are growing up into Christ. This is at the very, very heart of God's plan of the ages. We won't go there, but the references, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 to 17, rewards in the future are given according to our work in the mystery. Are we building the temple of God in the mystery, or are we destroying it? Many ministers inadvertently do not realize they are tearing the body of Christ apart and tearing down the temple because they are not holding the mystery. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, So we know that there's a day coming. There's a day coming when God is going to judge the secrets of men's hearts by Jesus Christ according to Paul's gospel. And where it says in my gospel, Paul's gospel was the revelation, Jesus Christ, according to the mystery that had been hidden God for previous generations. And it's this Christ being formed in you. God's going to say, look, here's the work of God, Christ formed in those faithful believers. That's my will for mankind. And then he's going to say, that's the benchmark. And everybody's heart is going to be judged against that. And this is the mystery in the end times. And there's a lot more to build up on this. But 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is very serious. It's serious in the age of grace. It gets even more serious when we're standing in that day that Paul was referring to. What God says in his word is that a minister must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Look at this. First Timothy chapter 3 verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, which is money. The deacons, the word deacon is diakonos, and it means a minister. All pastors and teachers, prophets, apostles, they're all ministers, diakonos. How many ministers are there in the body of Christ? I don't know what the number is. It's certainly a huge number. And if you're a minister in the body of Christ, look at the next verse. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. How many diakonos, how many ministers today even understand and know that there is such a thing as the mystery of the faith? The great secret. This is not a subject of man's private interpretation. This is the word of God to unfold it. Paul is writing to Timothy about the great mystery that he received. And it's God's will that all men today who are ministers and women who are ministers fulfill this verse. It's a requirement of being a diakonos, a minister. The word holding is skeo in Greek. It means to hold something fast in your heart with the ability to be able to deliver it to others. To be able to operate it. So in the sense that you've become what it is so that you can effectively minister it to others. When you get to the great mystery, it's not a theology. It's not a head knowledge. It's a living spiritual reality that must be lived. The word knowledge in relating to this in the epistles of Paul is epigenosis. And it means to be on top of or upon the gnosis, the living knowledge, to have gone and lived this word and to be matured by it. So that you're sitting on top of the experience like fine wine, fine matured wine, or fine matured whiskey, if you drink whiskey. You know, not that you should be given to much wine or much whiskey, but it's this fine matured knowledge through living the word of God, through living the truth. Holding it in a way of being able to deliver it. And minister to others. The mystery of the faith. And it says in a pure conscience. In a pure heart. Man's heart. Christian's heart. Stinky. Dreadful. Awful. Anti-God. It's the mind of Christ. That cleans up the heart. It's the word in the mystery. That cleans up the heart. The mystery is about the heart. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17, Paul's prayer, you know, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What does that mean? Well, if you have the Spirit of Christ, if you're having Christ formed in you, like we read, if you've got the mind of Christ and you're being conformed into the same image as Romans 8 says, and 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, that we're being changed into the same image from one glory to another glory, because Christ is all glorious. This is what it's talking about. It's a heart matter. This is the true doctrine. Now, I do not want to arrive in that day that's coming as a minister of God, so-called, not holding the mystery of the faith in a pure heart. I don't want to be there at the day bereft of what God says in his word. It says that the ministry is for the obedience of faith for the whole church. The ministers must even be more obedient. They must be to the point where it's scaled, it's held with vigor and strength and ability to be able to teach it, the mystery of the faith, in a pure heart. That Christ has so saturated our heart that we've grown up into this mystery. I do not want to walk in the end times without this being in my heart. And so, whether you're a minister or whether you're a believer, just don't go to the end times without Christ being in your heart. You know, this is the obedience of faith. Remember, it's Paul's gospel. God is going to judge the secrets of men's hearts through Jesus, by Jesus Christ, according to Paul's gospel of the great mystery. It's the pinnacle of true doctrine. Ministers are tearing down the body of Christ today because they do not know this mystery. If you don't know the mystery, get humble before God. Pray to him. It's in his word. He wants to reveal this to you more than you want to know it. Believe me. So therefore, pray. Pray to God. God, if this is true, take the scales off my eyes. Shed light on the mystery. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul's ministry is talking about himself. To make all men see. The word see there is photizo. It means to shed light upon so that you can see it. To make all men see what is the word fellowship or koinonia means the administration, the household governance in the church, the mystery, the governance of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things. You see, here, Paul's ministry was to shed light on it. He was a fellow laborer with God, walking with God. The Spirit was at work. God was working in people's hearts. But if people want to shun the mystery and they want to hold on to other things and they want to make other things for the obedience of faith, or they want to put other things up at the pinnacle, or they want to put other things as the right way of believing, the household administration, oh, this is the right way to go. Well, what does the word say? Come back to the word of God. Come to it. Do you really want to go to the end times, which is around the corner, metaphorically speaking, not having this obedience of faith? Or if you're a minister, do you want to arrive in that day and then Jesus Christ looks at you and he says, why didn't you hold the mystery of the faith? Why did you put yourself on a pedestal as a minister and not obey my word? Why did you teach other things and not the household administration of the mystery? Why did you tear down my temple? What reward can I give you? Do you really want that? Do you really, really? Is that really your heart? I don't believe many ministers that's their true desire when they think of this. So therefore, come to God. Come to your Father. Pray to him for him to show you the great mystery. because you do not want to walk in the end times bereft of this. You want the obedience of faith. All the believers in the end times who are walking faithfully will be walking hand in hand with the Lord. What we're going to be facing around the corner is no joke. Seriously, no joke. We pray and we move to be faithful and steadfast. We pray to be cemented in what His Word says. Not what we think, but what He shows us in His Word. Serious stuff. Ephesians chapter 1. This whole thing, the mystery, God's going to judge the secrets of men's heart by this mystery, this Christ in you. The world is going to be brought against this benchmark, and everything that's not of Christ is going to go. It says in the Word that we've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. When that shaking happens, we are in Christ. That cannot be shook. But you see, the whole plan and purpose of God for mankind is for God to dwell in man. And this God dwelling in man is more than just God being in the person, full stop. It's about a relationship. It's about a fellowship. It's about living and walking with the Almighty, Jah, the God of all gods, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how is this done? The mystery. Us being formed into the reality of who Christ is, His nature. It says in the Word that He is the image of God. It says in the Word that we're being conformed into His image. It says in the Word that He is the express person of God's glory. It says in the Word that we are being changed into the same image from one glory to another glory. That He in us is the hope of His glory, which is God's glory. It says that we are called to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the truths. These are the things that we ought to be busy about. Yet, 99 point something of Christian ministers, shame, shame, shame. Come to God's Word. Come to it. See it. Pray. Be humble. Pray that He shows you this. And if your heart's desire is for God to show you it, He will show you. Jesus Christ said, you know, ask, seek, knock. The door be opened and you shall find. You know, it's a promise in the Word. Well, God's plan of the ages is all wrapped up in the mystery. And it's going to roll out. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. Everything that is not of Christ will be subject to the fire. There is no room in the city to come for anything that's not of Christ. And this is God working out His plan. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose literally is the purpose of the ages. There are many ages. We're living in the age of grace today. We're about to head into the age in the end times where then follows the day of the Lord. But the purpose of the ages, God has so structured and set this up. The purpose of the ages is for God to dwell in man. It's the mystery. Judgment is going to come. The benchmark is the mystery, Paul's gospel. The purpose of the ages is Paul's gospel. It all comes back to the mystery of God forming Christ in his people. It's so, so clear if we can just go for it. Look at Peter chapter 3. I'm not sure if it's first or second. We'll get there. Yeah, it's 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, Peter says somewhere, I think it's in the previous epistle, the first epistle of Peter, he says, judgment has already begun at the household of God. So if it's tough now with believers, how tough is it going to get for the ungodly? You know? So if scarcely a righteous man can be saved, goodness me, what happens with the ungodly? Well, here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There is a perdition of ungodly men coming. It's around the corner. What is God up to? Does he do it for sport? Does he do it for fun? No. He's working righteousness, Christ in us, the mystery today. It's the benchmark of the purpose of the ages. It's the benchmark of the whole plan of the ages. It's this mystery of his will. There's a day coming when every man will be judged according to that benchmark. And everything that's ungodly will be burned in the fire. Fire is coming. Can fire burn the kingdom? No. Can fire burn the Christ in you? No. Can Christ in you be shaken? No. You see, it's very, very simple and very plain. This is the mystery in the end times. This is the mystery in the whole rollout of the plan past the end times. Where is it going? Whole of mankind eventually, in the fullness of the age, is going to be wrapped up in Christ. And everything that's not of Christ will be outside the city. It won't be in the kingdom. Gosh. How beautiful is God's will? Ministers today have got so many things wrong. And I don't for one minute expect anyone who does not know the mystery to even understand these things. We are not the bride of Christ. If you do not understand the mystery, you will think we are the bride of Christ. If you really understand the great mystery, you will know that we are not the bride of Christ. Why would we want to rob Israel of their rightful inheritance? Because that's what people do. But there's wholesale ignorance. Because man and ministers have been unfaithful with God's word. Come to God's word. Come to the truth. Salvation isn't understood. You know, I've heard so much on the internet teaching about salvation and grace being perverted when these people do not even understand the mystery. They don't understand salvation. If you don't understand something, how can you be an authority on something? You can't. God says that a minister must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Period. Full stop. Revelation 10. Verse 7. It says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that's the last trumpet, by the way, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God, and you can read about more about the mystery of God in Colossians 2:2. It's the mystery of God that was given to Paul, should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets, the New Testament prophets, of the mystery. The day when the seventh angel sounds, it's the last trumpet. It says in the epistles of the mystery that we're gathered up together to Christ at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, and the mystery of God will be finished. And then the benchmark judgment happens. This is the mystery in the end times. The image, the reference for this really is Revelation chapter 13, but I'm not going to go there. But look, the image of the beast. If we don't understand the mystery, we don't understand the image of the beast. In the mystery, we are conformed as a new man into the image of Christ. The image of the beast is the opposite to the image of Christ. The new man in the mystery is us putting on Christ. In the end times, the false prophet, and you can read this in Revelation 13, will stand up. And the philosophy at that time, the message at that time, is the salvation will be to become like the Antichrist. To become like the beast. To worship the image of the beast. And this is the mystery of iniquity and the lie and the strong delusion. And it's all wrapped up towards this. People will not understand the image of the beast as God wants us to understand it if we don't understand the great mystery and the image of Christ. What the adversary does from year dot is counterfeit what God does. The adversary cannot create anything. He's not a creator. He's not a bara creator. He is a destroyer, but he takes and he twists. He cannot create anything, because to create, only God Almighty can create, and those he gives the power to. And he has not given that power to the adversary, Lucifer, the devil. To create means to start with something. Sorry, to start with nothing. Absolutely nothing, and produce something, you know. But we use the word create in a very loose way today. So often we talk about creating files, but we actually start with something. We start with megabytes, computer, a keyboard, and so forth. And we might create a file on a computer, but actually we didn't really create a file. We made one or formed one. The thing is, the image of the beast is a counterfeit. It's the antithesis, or it's the opposite to the image of Christ. In the great mystery, we understand how we become fashioned into the image of Christ, how Christ is formed in us. The false prophet will form the beast in men's hearts in the end times. And men will follow this as being enlightened. But what they're being enlightened with is not true light. Lucifer is an angel of light. Was, you know, very high position. He was the morning star. However, as an angel of light, he can deceive people and make things look like light, and it's not. And this is what will be happening in the end times. To understand the image of the beast, to really understand it, only those who understand the great mystery and how the truth works will understand how the falsehood and the delusion and the mystery of iniquity will work in the end times. So we've all got to come to the understanding of the mystery. Ministers, you have to teach the mystery. To teach the mystery, the Greek is skeo, you have to hold it in your heart with vigor and strength. In other words, you have to become what the great mystery is. You need to start now praying to the Father, to asking him to show you what this great mystery is, so that your rewards will be plentiful when Christ returns, so that you can build up the body of Christ today, and so that the people you speak to, we can all come to understand the work of the beast in the end times. At the moment, the church doesn't even know the great mystery, let alone the working of the mystery of iniquity that's round the corner. My goodness, come on, stand up with the word. Stop squabbling about the doctrines you don't understand and come to the word of God. Come to the household administration, because the great mystery is the key to unlock the end times understanding. You know, I don't say this to belittle anyone. I don't say this to put myself on a high horse. It's God's word. You come to it. You do the greatest job for God. He's called you to be a minister. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to stand up with this mystery. And he wants you to build the strength and the word and the knowledge into the body of Christ to prepare us all for the time that's coming ahead, for the end times. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ.